Greetings and peace in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and welcome to Sound Doctrine, a radio ministry committed to preaching, teaching, and reaching. We are continuing our study in the first chapter of Titus. We last left off in the ninth verse, where we had gone through the qualifications and the character and conduct of the elders or bishops and pastors, and we were looking at what Paul communicates to Titus regarding the word, and that is God's word. And Paul had communicated in the ninth verse, again in the first chapter of Titus, that the bishop is to hold fast the faithful word as he hath been taught. So we did speak about this and take a look at this last week. And I just want to reemphasize that this is about holding to the trustworthy word of God as we have been instructed. So the emphasis here is on the consistency that is God's word. So in other words, as you know, we've studied before, it's important to realize that there's not sort of this leeway, if you will, to manipulate or to compromise or to modify God's word, because the instruction, as in the context in which Paul is communicating it, certainly is that, you know, this word has consistently been taught the same. So there's not a different word here in Crete where Paul has left Titus. There's not a different word than the word that any other minister, messenger, elder, or bishop has other than the faithful word, the trustworthy word. So when we consider how easy it is to get off course, the reason that tends to happen is because we lose sight of the trustworthiness of God's word. And so we come up with these different methods. And again, if it's not of God, then it's of man. And that means that it's man-made, and man-made methods don't provide the cure that only the word of God can provide. So when we consider this, it's very important for us to understand that the requirement of the elders and bishops is that they hold fast to the trustworthy word according to the instruction that they have received, which again is consistent. There's not different instruction for different people from a different source. So there's not instruction coming from various sources where you can sort of craft your own method for preaching and teaching, for instructing others. This is consistent. God's word is consistent, and it's very clear that inasmuch as God does not change, his word does not change either. So this is the point of emphasis here, and the reason that the bishop is to hold fast to the word of God is so that he is able, that is, the bishop or the pastor is able by sound doctrine, both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers, as pointed out in verse 9. So the word of God is the means by which we both exhort, and that is to comfort or encourage, to draw nearer, you know, to call near, because these are people who are receptive to the word of God. So what you want to continue to do is you want to continue to encourage them in the word. And how do you do that? with the word. You do it by instructing. So when we speak of sound doctrine, then we're speaking of uncorrupt teaching. So sound teaching leads to sound health, and you need a healthy word to, produce, so to speak, a healthy believer. And so if you're talking about maintaining your health as a believer, then the only way for that to happen is for you to have healthy teaching, healthy instruction, sound instruction, wholesome instruction. And that's what sound doctrine is. And that is what the elders or bishops and pastors are to do. You hold fast to it because that's the very word that you're using to instruct. And your instruction is only going to be sound or wholesome and uncorrupt if you're using God's word. So you have to hold to that which you're going to always use. And I think what's happening a lot in what has transpired over the years, obviously it's an issue during this time in which Paul is communicating to Titus. But, you know, when we look in our time, obviously we find the same thing, which is there's this loss of confidence in the word of God. And it really highlights the need to hold fast the faithful word and to trust God's word and to hold to it as an elder or bishop and pastor. And to lose confidence in God's word, there can be subtle demonstrations of that or evidence that maybe just doesn't seem so obvious. And that is when a pastor is determined to go off script with regard to sound teaching. And what becomes more prevalent is entertaining the church. And if you entertain them once, then you have to entertain them twice. And if you entertain them twice, then you have to continue to entertain them for the duration of your teaching or preaching. And that is not sound doctrine. That's entertainment. So it's so important to realize or to recognize the relationship between the health of instruction and the health of the Christian, which again is pointed out where it says in Titus chapter 1, verse 9, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. So the exhortation again is to comfort or encourage, to call near. And then the other part of this is to convince, which is to convict, that is to tell a fault or to rebuke. It's stronger, it's to admonish. So this is aimed toward those who refuse to receive the truth, or they dispute or contradict and speak against the truth. And that's what's communicated here when it speaks of the gainsayers. So this word is the means by which the elders and bishops both comfort and combat, if you will. So you comfort and you convict, because you have the commitment and the conviction, the persuasion of the trustworthiness of God's word. So you're going to use this word both as the means by which you comfort or encourage, as well as the means by which you convict or admonish and rebuke. And that's strong. But God's word is able to do both, able to both comfort and to convict. And the aim is to, again, communicate sound doctrine for the purpose of healthy believers. That's what it is. You're not going to get healthy believers through entertainment workshops. You're going to get entertained believers. And if we don't have confidence in God's word, then we're no different than anybody else because nothing sets us apart. And we're only set apart by the word of God, and not just the word of God in terms of possession, but also the word of God in terms of instruction and in terms of receiving the instruction and thereby being healthy as believers, being healthy as the church, being healthy and obedient as those who instruct and preach and teach, those being the elders, the bishops and pastors. So this is what Paul is communicating as he continues to move through qualifications, character and conduct, and now what the elders and bishops are to utilize, if you will, as they instruct. And that is, again, the word. You gotta hold to the word because the word is trustworthy. So as Paul moves through verse 9 to verse 10, now the emphasis here is on the convincing or convicting the gainsayers, those who speak against or contradict the word of God. And this is what Paul is speaking to now. So when he moves to verse 10, he says, "For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision." So now he's really building upon this conversation where he goes from what the elder or the bishop is to do with regard to the word and how he is to use the word to being more descriptive now of those who are both acting and teaching contrary to the word. So this is where Paul places the emphasis in verse 10. Stating that there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers. And he gives the reasoning in relation to sound doctrine. So why are you holding fast or holding to the trustworthy word? Why is sound doctrine important? And here you go. Because, or for the reason that these gainsayers, in relation to these gainsayers, there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers. And he places emphasis on those of the circumcision, which refers to the Jews. And Paul, being a Jew, he knows. And he knows especially as it relates to this influence and this contrary teaching in relation to the church or in relation to Christians, believers, followers of Jesus Christ. So as he points out or gives this description regarding this group, he says, when he speaks of there being many unruly, this is not just those of the circumcision, but especially those of the circumcision. So being unruly is being insubordinate, and that's the word that's communicated here, being disobedient and insubordinate. We hear this term oftentimes, you know, associated with school or just with conduct. So one of the points of emphasis that I want to make here is this should not be the case with regard to the elders and bishops, but unfortunately it is. And what I'm pointing out is there is contrary teaching that even comes from the pulpit, but I'm not going to really focus on that or emphasize that because that's not Paul's point of emphasis here. So as he speaks of the insubordination, it still goes back to the purpose of holding to the word and sound doctrine, because this teaching then has some form of momentum. There's a target. There's the opportunity and the threat that this teaching or these gainsayers, as Paul puts it, there's a threat here. So the emphasis is on these rebellious, empty talkers and deceivers, as is pointed out in the New American Standard Bible translation. So what Paul is speaking of is this group of insubordinate, empty talkers. Okay, so as they communicate their message, they are misleading people, they are seducing people, they are deceiving people. And just consider that word, you know, deceiving. It in what the translation communicates is a mind misleader. You know, to mislead somebody in the mind, you captivate them and you move them in the direction that you will have them to go, not by you know, not like with a sledgehammer or by tying them and dragging them. No, you communicate deceptive message and you seduce their minds. You compromise their thinking. And that's why, you know, for the elders and bishops, you got to hold fast to the word, because the word of God is truth. And in order to combat deception, you don't have to craft up your own methods and means. God has provided all that the elders, the bishops, and pastors need to teach, to instruct according to God's truth. And the only way to do that is by utilizing God's word, and not just utilizing it as, you know, as in addition to something else that you're trying to utilize, only the word of God. And it just seems like people are so put off by the word of God. And I'm not talking about unbelievers, I'm talking about believers. And it's and that's why we are so susceptible as believers to seduction, to having our minds seduced, to being deceived. And I continue to mention that, you know, when you look at the false religions and the various faith groups that are founded on false teaching, then you find many people who say, I used to be a Christian, or I used to believe, you know, they won't say it exactly this way, but the truth of God's word, but they've been deceived. They've been seduced. They've compromised. They've had their minds compromised. And as the commercial would say, when I was growing up, a mind is a terrible thing to waste. And it's so important to stay true to the word of God. So Paul says, again, chiefly among those who are insubordinate, rebellious, empty talkers and deceivers. In verse 10, he says, chiefly those who are of the circumcision. And again, he's referring to the Jews, and Paul, being a Jew himself, once again, is speaking from both experience and familiarity. So he knows what he's talking about. So he continues on. And mind you, please keep in mind, this is a continuous conversation in relation to the elders and the bishops. And now more specifically to sound doctrine. So this is very important to understand. As Paul is continuing this conversation, it is in the context of sound doctrine. It is in the context of right teaching, or wholesome, healthy teaching, sound instruction. And he's pointing out the reason why. This is why we must be equipped with sound doctrine. And who does that sound doctrine come from? And where does that sound doctrine come from? It comes from the elders, the bishops, the pastors, the overseers, those who are managers over God's household. And again, where? From the faithful word. This is it. But it's not just any and everybody in relation to the who, and it's not just any and everything in relation to the what. The elders, the bishops, the pastors must be qualified according to God's standard, and they can't just use any tool that they desire to use. They've got to trust the word of God. Why? Because there are many who are deceiving, who are insubordinate, rebellious, unruly, vain talkers, especially among the Jews, the circumcised, or from among the circumcision. So This is what Paul goes on to say in verse 11, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things. Again, here's that word, teaching what they say, what they teach. How are they doing it? Again, not by force, but by deception, by capturing the mind through false teaching. So he says, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. Here's the motivation. And this is when he says for filthy lucre's sake, again, this is communicated sordid gain. And this is where I spoke when he talked about the qualifications of elders or qualifications of bishops, where Paul says he mentioned filthy lucre, and I called it seedy and greedy, being seedy and greedy. That's what it means to be sordid and given to filthy lucre, to be seedy and greedy, by all means necessary, getting what you want in relation to your greed. And this, again, is what sets the elders and bishops apart from the false teachers and those who are the deceivers through their teaching. So you'll see this consistency in terms of this pattern, where there's this contrast. There's the contrast when you look at the elders, the bishops, the pastors, the preachers, the teachers of God's word. They must be different than these insubordinate, rebellious ones, the ones who deceive, the ones who are, again, unruly, who contradict or deny and refuse God's word and God himself. So that's why it's important. We can't be like everyone else. And that's why I so passionately communicate this. Listen, my aim is not to be condescending or to be judgmental in terms of condemnation. I don't have that authority. I'm out of my jurisdiction if I take aim to do that. I'm not qualified to do that. That's God's jurisdiction. So, but what we do know is under the lordship of Jesus Christ and the word of God, that we have guidance, we have instruction, we have qualifications, we have requirements, we have character and conduct. You know, we have what God requires, and we are a stark contrast from those who teach and do or live otherwise. And that's why I so passionately communicate this, is because this is not my standard. This is God's standard. And so if we look and act just like everybody else, as elders, bishops, pastors, preachers, teachers, then what's the difference? And that's why God always, always separates his people in terms of conduct, in terms of commitment, in terms of qualifications, in terms of character. That's why God always separates his people from those who are contrary, because that's how we stand out. That's what makes us different. That's why the church is called the called out assembly, the called out congregation. We are not like the world. We are called out of and called to. And that's what sound doctrine does. That's what sound doctrine is for. It is to comfort and encourage those who are drawing near to God. And it is to convict those who are contrary to God. You can't do that by any other means or method. It has to be according to the trustworthy word of God. So here we continue with this contrast, and you use sound doctrine to stop mouths. That's what's communicated in verse 11, where he says, whose mouths must be stopped. So this means to put something over the mouth. And again, to silence. So how do you silence them? You don't silence them by becoming violent. You silence them by teaching sound doctrine, sound instruction. I cannot overemphasize this. teaching sound instruction. How do you silence them? Remember, this is the continuation regarding sound doctrine and holding fast the trustworthy word. This is the continuation of that. So this is still the conviction or the admonishing, the rebuke. This is what this verse 11 is continuing here in the first chapter of Titus in relation to sound doctrine and those who are contrary. So this is how you stop their mouths, by teaching whole, uncorrupt doctrine or instruction. So their mouths must be stopped because, here we go again, what do they do? How do they operate? Excuse me. They subvert whole houses, or they overthrow entire or all of a house. That is, and we're talking about families, we're talking about households. And that's why, again, I always try to tell people in conversation, I'm not crazy. I'm passionate. I would always say, you know, I'm passionate and oftentimes misunderstood, because, you know, this is not playtime. We're talking about the souls of men. And when I say the souls of men, I mean the souls of humanity. I mean, sinners and saints, heaven and hell, destruction and eternal life. We're talking about the Lordship of Jesus Christ, the good news, the good announcement of faith and life in Christ. Listen, if you're not passionate about that, then, you know, what is there to be passionate about if you're talking about being an elder or a bishop and pastor, a preacher or teacher? You know, and the gospel is nothing to be trifled with. It's a life, you know, it's a life or death matter. And it's just so important to understand that when we speak of subverting or turning or overthrowing, you know, whole households or homes or families, we're dealing with people. We're dealing with souls. We're dealing with truth versus deception in relation to eternal destiny. And so it's so important to understand this, you know. And he continues on explaining that they teach things that they ought not. So that they are not to teach is what is communicating. They teach things that they should not be teaching. Okay. It's really a greater emphasis on not teaching this. Not like they shouldn't, but they do. No, it's like, no, they are not to teach this, you know, and their motivation, or they do it on account of their shameful desire or their shameful lust for gain. And that's what is spelled out here. So that's the motivation. And that's why, again, the elders, the bishops, the pastors, the preachers, the teachers, the overseers must be different. We must be different. And that sound doctrine is to combat this very thing. But it's not just the teaching, it's the qualifications, the character, the conduct, the commitment of the elders, the bishops, the pastors. We must be overseers of God's house according to the qualifications and the standards that God has in place, but even more so, or just as important, according to sound teaching that is in accordance with the trustworthy word, and that word is the word of God. So that concludes our study for today. And until the next time, remember that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. God bless you.